Basic Brewing Radio is sponsored in part by the American Homebrewers Association. On Saturday, May 7th, 2022, the American Homebrewers Association invites you to celebrate Big Brew for National Homebrew Day. Big Brew is an opportunity to fire up the kettle and raise a glass to the greatest hobby there is, homebrewing. Get a promo code for $5 off an annual American Homebrewers Association membership when you make the Big Brew Pledge. Visit homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing for offer details, the official 2022 Big Brew recipes, homebrewing tutorials, and more. That's homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing to get $5 off when you make the Big Brew Pledge. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, April 7th, 2022. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I venture into our third tincture sampler. We taste tinctures made from three citrus fruit zests, and we sample a surprise beer from our friends at Ivory Bill Brewing that uses whole Meyer lemons. Brewer Casey Letellier gives us background on how that beer was brewed. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs and our brewer's logbooks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters will see an early release video this week of one of the two episodes that Steve and I shot the other day. We shot one on my toasted rye Doppelbock and another on my kettle-soured Brett beer that I started on Christmas Day of this past year. It's finally in the bottle. It's still very young, but I wanted to taste it on the show and sort of benchmark it as I begin to let it age. I'm thinking that it's going to get more interesting tasting as time goes along. And I'm leaning toward posting the Doppelbock show first, just because. That's the order we shot him in, basically. Financial supporters will see the early release, a behind-the-scenes video, and a recipe for that beer. And many thanks to those who are supporting us at patreon.com/basicbrewing. And tons of bonus stuff from the past is still available for those who subscribe. I've been mulling over in my mind what to brew next for the next tincture sampler. I think I'll go dark. Sort of counterintuitive, you know, because it's getting warmer outside and dark beers aren't as popular in the warmer times, but I think a dark beer flavored with three different tinctures would be a lot of fun to taste. Maybe coffee, coconut, and mint? I'm also itching to do a small batch extract beer and actually bottle it with strawberry and jalapeno tincture. We liked that combination so much when we were dosing finished beer in the glass. But, you know, I'm curious as to what effect it would have adding those tinctures to the bottle at bottling time. I think that'd be fun. I got plane tickets for Steve and me to go to HomebrewCon in Pittsburgh in June. Got our hotel lined up, got our plane tickets. Starting to get excited about that. Actually leaving the house. I'm also heading out to Charlotte, North Carolina in late May with the family. We're going to go see the Foo Fighters, but tragically that's not going to happen. Rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins. So if you have suggestions on breweries to visit in Charlotte, let me know. Possibly might want to try to do an interview out there. So let me know who would be fun to talk to, somebody making fun and interesting beers. I got a text from Ricky the Meadmaker at our friends and sponsors Groenfell and Havoc Meaderies in Vermont. Ricky says it's the last chance to get some drinking horns from Groenfell.com. Once the current stock of mead horns is gone, Ricky's not planning on getting more. So, if you want to drink mead from a traditionally inspired vessel made from an actual bovine horn, you better check it out. It's pretty cool, actually. There's the carved horn mead tankard with handle, which I think I like the most. The Horn Highball Cup, the classic mead horn, which is super fancy. It's like a whole, you know, it's like the whole horn, and you can choose a stand or a belt holster with that, because you know it doesn't stand on its own because it's like a whole horn. Or you can get the rocks glass drinking horn. Just imagine drinking a mead cocktail out of that. They're all made with ethically sourced bovine horn. And while you're at it, you can choose some delicious Groenfell and or Havoc meads to be shipped to you to serve in these incredibly cool and totally real horns. You gotta go check them out at the site. What if you were to walk around HomebrewCon with a mead horn in a belt holster? Would they let you do that? I bet they would. Check out the mead. Legal disclaimer, I don't know if they would, but surely they would. Check out the mead horns along with all the honey-based deliciousness at family-owned and operated Groenfell.com. That's Groenfell. Okay, Steve and I were considerably less goofy at this tasting, but we still had fun sampling these tinctures made with citrus zests. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James.
It's our third tincture sampler.
A tincture a day.
This time we're doing something as suggested by listeners. First of all, we got listener email here that I'm going to read.
Get out!
In front of the show here. Danny from Boonville. They probably say Boonville up in New York. Down here we'd say Boonville.
Boonville.
We try to get as many down to as close to a single syllable as possible. Boonville. Danny says, I said something on the outro of the last tincture sampler, something like, boy, you can't imagine all the silliness that I cut out of this episode, you know, because I cut out quite a few of our dad jokes and and obscure references and stuff like that. But Danny says, I always love your sampler episodes with Steve, especially your last one, Fruit Tincture Sampler. It might be just me, but I like hearing you two joke around, and I think anyone who listens to your podcast expects that sort of thing. So in defense of us being goofy, I guess. and then on to the comments that are germane to this episode. CJ from Sioux Falls, South Dakota says, I enjoyed your latest tincture sampler episode. Perhaps you could do a sampler of tinctures made with various citrus zests.
Aha. Uh-huh.
A while back, I made a beer I called Summer Heat Lemon Wheat using a tincture of lemon zest, and it turned out great. And then Philip from the emails said, citrus zests. Lemon, orange, grapefruit, or tangerine. So those I use those as inspiration for this week's tincture sampler. Here we have tinctures of, and what I did was I took into 3 1/2 cup portions of vodka, and domestic vodka made in Columbia, Missouri, not in some foreign land we don't like very much right now. Into 1/2 a cup of vodka, I put and I took a potato peeler and I zested a couple of Meyer lemons. And apparently the Meyer lemon is a cross between a lemon and a mandarin orange. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, there you go. According to the package of the
lemons. I did not know that.
Downstairs.
I love Meyer lemons.
Oh, there you go. And then we have the zest of a lime. And then I went to the Whole Foods, the Whole Paycheck, and I got the most exotic looking citrus that I could find, and I got an organic Mineola Tangelo.
Sounds like a 1950s crooner's album.
No, straight from the ballroom is Mineola Tangelo.
And his orchestra.
And his orchestra. I'll be seeing you. So, as you can see, and these have been in here. This is Thursday. I put these in on Sunday. And you can see that the, especially the lime, the color has really
definitely
faded.
But the tincture is you know, lime colored. It's green.
Yeah.
So what I was looking at it completely. You were talking about the color of the fruit,
right?
And whereas I was thinking, wow, each one of these tinctures has picked up the color of the fruit.
Yeah.
So.
And to be honest, I didn't expect it to be that dramatic when I put the zests in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it seems to me that, you know, your citrus skin seems, you know, fairly impermeable, but I guess, you know, 40% alcohol tends to to get in there.
Yeah.
But do you want to just smell these?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that soap called Zest?
Zestfully clean.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ooh.
So that really smells like lemon.
Oh, that's nice.
And it smells like lime. That's incredible.
I like, just on the nose, I like the lemon the best.
That lime smells like Almeniola.
Almeniola. And the Tupelo.
And the Tupelo
Express.
I keep
saying Tupelo. It's Tangelo.
Tangelo.
But I...
Okay.
I think the Tangelo is the most subtle. Hmm. Those are going to be tasty, I think.
I think so.
Now, we have a choice. For the first time, we have a choice of the base beers.
Okay.
I have the regular sampler beer that I did with the Pilsen Light dry malt extract and the Czech Sots that, you know, we generally use. And then I have from our friends at Ozark Beer Company, the Ozark Lager, which I think you would agree is a well-made lager, fairly neutral in flavor. It's a delicious beer, but it's more neutral in flavor than the pale ale that I made. So I'm not sure how to approach this. Shall we try it in one and then try it in the other? Shall we maybe start out with the Ozark Lager?
Let's do, yeah.
And then do some tinctures in that. And
yeah.
And we should, I guess we should go over the benefits of using, whoa! I might have dropped, this may be the one I dropped on the garage floor.
It's certainly bubbly. The nice thing about doing, you know, what we're doing is that you can experiment with flavor so much more easily and economically that you're not stuck with, you know, a couple of cases or even a small batch of beer that you don't really like.
Right.
And so this is a great way to get a feel for, you know, what Tangelo is going to taste like in a beer. And it's actually a good way too, I think, to flavor an entire batch of beer.
Right.
So you can brew the beer and then you can spike it with the extract or the tincture to the level of flavor that you want. And then when you keg it or bottle it, the flavor is going to be stable. Now, clearly, if you bottle it and you just leave it in the bottle for a couple of years or something, then no, it's not. But within a reasonable drinking time, and especially if you're a kegger, you know, which, you know, people who keg beers don't really have them laying around for a long time. I mean, yeah,
that's real estate.
That's real estate.
Prime real estate that you got to get through.
That's right. So, you know, you can flavor that beer up and enjoy it, or you can... another nice way to do this would be, let's say that we had a 5-gallon batch of beer and we wanted some of it to taste like Tangelo and some of it to taste like, to be lime flavored, and some of it to be just the base beer. And we wanted to bottle all those or package them separately and label them. In fact, that's how I did the last time I did that technique, was to brew a Belgian wit where I made a tincture of the New Mexico Hatch chilies. And I, you know, dosed half the batch, and then I bottled half the batch plain.
Mm-hmm.
And they were clearly different beers. I mean, they were very different, and both great. But I got two for the price of one in terms of flavor.
That's a good point. It's also, if you were to just put the fruit in the fermentation, you know, the yeast would have its way with the sugars in that, and the flavor would, you know, be impacted. It would change.
It definitely does. I don't think you get anywhere near the flavor impact when you ferment on the fruit. I think that you lose a lot of flavor.
Yeah. In this way, you can kind of preserve that a lot more. I think we found that with the, especially like the strawberries, you know, in the previous
absolutely.
One, the flavor of the strawberries were preserved.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if we were to just put that in the fermenter, I think that would have faded over time. So what do you favor? We've got three samples of the Ozark Lager in front of us. What do you want to start with?
I'm going to start with a Meyer Lemon.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to get the Tangelo. We have these little disposable plastic pipettes where we are able to see, like I've got, you know, like 2.5 milliliters. That's 2.5 milliliters of the tincture. And that's about what you've got there.
Okay, good.
And this is a third of a beer, a third of a 12-ounce beer. And I'm going to squirt that in there aggressively to mix it in there. Cheers.
Okay. Cheers.
Clunk. Oh, that's nice. It's not very aggressive, but there is an orangey flavor to the Tangelo. What do you think about the Meyer Lemon?
It's good. Yeah, it definitely gives it just imparts that flavor, and that flavor works well with a Pilsner style beer.
What do you like about the Meyer Lemon? Maybe you've already answered that.
Well, compared to a standard lemon, the flavor is just, it's both more robust and a little less sharp. Mm. And that's what I like about Meyer Lemons. I just, their flavor is just, I don't know, not quite so bright as a standard lemon that we would get in the U.S. I don't know how many varieties of lemon there are. I have no idea.
I'm a lemon novice.
Yeah. So, but Meyer lemons, I really like to cook with those. I really like to make like margaritas with them.
Oh.
When they're available, I buy them. Mm. You know, they're not available very long. It's kind of a short season, which I don't understand. But that's how it is in the grocery store. So whenever I see Meyer lemons, I'm like, holy crud! And I buy them and I make a excuse to make. You made a pie.
Yeah, I made a pie. I had all these. I bought a bag. I had to buy. I bought like one lime and one Mineola Tangelo, and then a little bag of the Meyer lemons. And so I was like, what am I going to do with this? All this citrus. So I looked online, and I if you search for lemon custard pie on YouTube, you'll find this recipe. This guy made the super simple recipe, and I made I used the juice from one lime and two Meyer lemons in there, and boy, it's pretty.
That was really
pretty
good.
Tasty. Wait, no, wait. Here, this is the.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, this is the.
Doing.
You put it in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I see what we're doing. I thought we had a personal pipette.
No.
I'm clearly not very scientific.
The personal pipette. I'm going to go to the Meyer lemon now.
I went to the lime.
And I bet you the same amount squirted in this sample will be more effective. Oh yeah, on the nose right away. The nose is a lot stronger than the Tangelo.
The lime is sublime.
Oh wow. Well, that's interesting. There's a brightness up front, but then also there's a flavor on the back of the tongue as well.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't expect for some reason.
Check it before you flavor up your before you flavor your last sample. Just take a sample of the plain beer,
right,
and then bounce that off of the tincture, and you'll see a big difference. I wasn't sure at first when I tasted it with the lemon, and I went, "Okay, where's the beef?" but then I checked it against the base beer by itself, and big difference.
doing the lime. Wow. Wow. The nose on the lime is quite strong.
It's very, yeah, it is. Definitely get the lime.
That's happening, as you would say.
Yep. No, that's good.
But there is on the lime, there is a bit of a pithy, at the end of it, there's a kind of a pithy astringency.
Yep. Okay, now I'm going in with the orange or the Tangelo.
Oh. Yeah, I like the lime the best at first, but it's a little too, not acidic, it's pithy, I guess would be it's a little bit astringent.
Mm-hmm.
The lime.
It does have a, yeah. Interesting.
Maybe a key lime would you know.
Maybe, which.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I mean, very, yeah, really could be.
I'm going to put a little bit more of the Meyer lemon in the second one, concentrating that even more. Oh, yeah.
You know what would make this all really great? If you still had some jalapeno tincture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, should have bottled that.
I'd be all over that.
Yeah, and you see the Meyer lemon doesn't have the the lemon pledge. You know, usually when I smell just a regular lemon or taste, you know, that character, sometimes I'm going to say, ooh, that's furniture polish. You know?
Hmm. So I doubled, so I did another dose into a lesser volume of beer because I, you know, drank some of it.
Right.
And it really, that was a better dosage. I mean, you know, more was better in this case. That was good.
You know, I'm going to double down on the I keep having to look. The Tangelo, not the Tupelo. I don't know why. It's my penmanship. It's good.
All right.
But it's just not as strong, and I don't like it as much as the Meyer lemon.
Mm-hmm.
I might like it more than the lime, really. I was expecting to like the lime the best.
I think I do like the lime the best, but you're right. It does have there's an astringency to it.
It's a pithy aftertaste.
Let's take a minute to talk about our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. In my mind, we're moving into excellent brewing weather. I love brewing outside in the spring, and I'm ready. I love brewing with my Warthog electric brew-in-a-bag system that I got from highgravitybrew.com. Steve loves his similar system, too. He's got the 5-gallon, 120-volt setup, and I've got the more powerful 240-volt setup that's big enough for 10-gallon batches. But I mostly brew 5 gallons at a time, though, but it still works for that. In fact, it works really well. That's a powerful system, and it brings the wort up to or brings the water up to strike temperature quickly, and just gets up to a kick butt boil in no time at all. If you use the code EBC75BB on highgravitybrew.com, you can save $75 off your Warthog electric gear, whether it's a turnkey system like ours or a controller if you're building your own setup. If you're curious as to what that code discount covers, go to basicbrewing.com and click on the High Gravity Basic Brewing Discount Code Deals ad on the right-hand side of the site. That will take you to a page on highgravitybrew.com that has a long list of Warthog systems and controllers that you can save $75 on by using EBC75BB. HighGravityBrew.com also has the Build Your Own Brewing System feature where you can choose upgrades like spike kettles and gear. HighGravityBrew.com can take the pain out of propane just in time for springtime brewing. That's at family-owned and operated HighGravityBrew.com. That's HighGravityBrew.com.
I am going to do...
Oh, you're going to make a little fruit salad.
I'm blending all three.
Ooh.
Because I just want to do that. I'm never going to go back through and do this with the brewing pale ale.
Yeah, I thought what we could do, and you could take more cups if you want, but I was thinking that we could kind of split one of these pale ales and then kind of knowing... Taking the knowledge that we already know, kind of use that to blend in with the...
Sure.
Now, this beer,
It's the beer that I made. I used 3 quarts, or about 3 liters, of water. Into it, I put a pound, or 450 grams, of Pilsen Light dry malt extract. And I brought that just up to the boil. And in that, I put 9 grams of Czech Sots for a 10-minute steep off the fire. Chilled that down, poured it into a 1 gallon jug, along with 3 grams of USO5, Safale USO5, with an original gravity of 1063, final gravity of 1010, for an ABV of 7%. And this is the same, this is the one that I brewed on the 2nd of January. So this is the same batch.
Gotcha.
I made 3 6-packs. And I didn't, I found out I didn't need 3 6-packs. So I still have these. I have 3 of them left. But it'd be interesting to taste this beer on its own to see how it's...
Mm-hmm.
And the head is nice. You know, we've had problems in the past with not flat, but...
headless.
Beers with no head retention.
Call those the Happy Hollow series.
Yeah. Or the Marie Antoinette series.
Okay.
So... Cheers.
Cheers. Well, that's good. That's really nice. That's actually a good beer. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
And it takes like an hour to make a 6-pack.
Yeah. That's actually really good.
The hops may have... They're not as fruity. They're not. I don't think they're as citrusy as they once were, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I don't know about. But I can... It's just a nice little pale ale. Very drinkable.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add 2 doses of Meyer lemon and 1 dose of lime and see what we got.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a big hit
of
the Tangelo. And I'm going to try that on its own at first. Just a little sip. Mmm, that's nice.
Oh. Mmm.
The Tangelo in that pale ale was more pronounced than in the Ozark Lager.
Huh.
For me.
So the hops brought out the citrus.
I think so, yeah.
Mmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good... Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
Mmm.
This is good... Still, I get the astringency from the lime.
From the lime?
I think it would have added less lime.
Well, I'm going to stay away from the lime then. Don't go into the lime. You know, we just got back from Mexico.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Very limey.
Lots of limes with your
beer. Lime
beers.
Everywhere. Lime with your food, lime with your beer. Spritz behind your ears when you...
Did you have any good beers while you were down there?
You know, I'm going to say yes in that I like Modelo. And so that's pretty much it. So we stayed at one of these all-inclusive, you know, like it was an adults-only, everything's prepaid for, which means that the...
Including the alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
As much as you want.
Wow.
Now, they did serve it in, like, probably 10 or 8-ounce glasses. So, well, when you had a beer, there wasn't much beer to be had.
Right.
And the only beer that was served was Modelo. And then I don't know if Modelo does a 3.2 or not. 3.2. I mean, I don't know if they do a light. I don't know. But I just know I was drinking beer all day long as fast as I could. I never got a buzz at all. That's all I can tell you. And kind of the same for the margaritas. I switched to margaritas for a day, and they were sweet and...
Oh.
But it was tasty, and there was a pool, and...
And you were warm.
There was an ocean. Yeah, it was great. We did go out to dinner a couple of times, you know, in town, and had really good food. The food in the resort was okay. But the food when we went into town was... Wonderful. I did have a Victoria, which they sell, it's sold around here in Arkansas.
Hmm.
But It was just something different that I've maybe had two Victorias in my life. So I tried one of those. And I think they are made by the same folks that make Modelo, I think. It's that same group.
Mm.
But the beer was a little different. It was a light, I would call it a light American-style lager, but, you know, a light Viennese-style lager.
Right.
Actually, you know what? In that setting, with that food, in that moment, that style of beer is very good.
Yeah.
And they're well made. I mean, I had a couple of Pacificos at one restaurant, and I had a Victoria at another, and a Bloody Mary, which we will not talk about.
Did it have a chicken on it?
Well, it was just not. It was just, whoever was making that drink didn't know what they were doing. But lots of good food, and again, this kind of light, really just like the basic brewing pale ale and the Ozark Lager. I mean, those beers are very appropriate for the climate and for the cuisine. And stouts and porters, the Rogan beer that you made earlier, have been as good. They wouldn't.
Oh,
they might be better beers.
Too
but,
hot.
Yeah, they're just the wrong flavor profile.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Context is important.
Yeah. Speaking of context, this I did mine with orange and lemon, and I did two doses of orange and one dose of lemon, so about 3 mils, 2.5 mils each. And then one with about 5 mils, and it was very good. I like it a lot.
Oh.
And I stayed away from the lime.
There you go. Again, it surprised me. I thought that I would like the lime the best just because I like the flavor of lime.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I would like the Meyer lemon. I don't know much about it, but I've heard good things. and then the Tangelo, Susan and I ate the fruit after I zested it, and it was good. I liked it quite a bit. I probably paid, you know, $12 for it at the Whole Foods.
one Tangelo.
But, you know, there you go.
Let's take a minute to talk about our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast. I remember when I first started using Imperial, the yeast came in those cute little cans. It really got our attention at HomebrewCon. Steve started stocking Imperial in his store, and we were blown away by the quality of the product. Now, the can was a little tricky, though. But those days are long gone. Now, Imperial Organic Yeast comes in easy-to-open pouches that contain 200 billion cells each. Long lag times are pretty much a thing of the past, along with a can, because if I pitch in the early afternoon, my airlocks are usually bubbling before bedtime, and my stir plate is dusty because I don't use it anymore to make starters for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. On top of that, Imperial Organic Yeast has top-notch customer service and technical support. Ask your local homebrew store about Imperial Organic Yeast and check them out at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com.
So this is fun. I have a surprise for you.
What's that? We're going to pour shots out of this tincture?
Yeah, we're just going to drink the tinctures.
That's what I do. I was at home by myself.
That's a martini right there, right?
Yeah.
That and I got a package of Lucky Strikes.
Oh, yay.
You'll have to shed your clothes before you go back in the house. But no, I don't know if you follow Ivory Bill Brewing on the socials.
Yes.
But every year, our good friend, Casey Letelier, gets cases of Meyer lemons in, and he makes a lemon wheat beer.
Wow. Okay.
And yesterday, I drove up to Siloam Springs specifically for this purpose, and I got, among other beers, I got a crowler of the lemon wheat beer for us to sample here at this table. And I did a quick interview with Casey about how he makes this beer and what goes into it. So,
nice.
So do you want to hear that interview, and you want to sample that beer?
I live for nothing else.
Well, here we go now.
Casey Letellier, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you, James. It's nice to be back.
So tell me about that beer.
Okay. So the Meyer Lemon beer is one we do when Meyer Lemons are in season, which is kind of a brief window, late winter. So most of the fruit beers we do at the Ivory Bill are with local fruit. But in the middle of winter, obviously, we can't get local fruit. And that's the perfect season for citrus. So we get organic Meyer Lemons from our local food co-op. And we give them a quick rinse in hot water, quarter them, squeeze them, put them in bags, and then essentially sort of like treat them like a dry hop. So they get steeped in the finished beer. We'll like CO2 purge the headspace as we put them in, and they steep there for a couple of weeks. And the base beer is Kolsch malt and a bunch of German wheat.
So does the juice go in there as well?
It does. Everything goes in. And when we sort of squeeze the lemons, we kind of doing as much sort of disruption of the cells as we can, like a good, hard, vigorous squeeze, kind of trying to get all those oils like volatile. And it smells amazing.
And so what is it about the Meyer lemon that attracts you?
They just have such a beautiful, complex aroma. It isn't just that sort of like sharp citrus note that sometimes you get with ordinary lemons. It's a little more floral, a little more rounded, a little sweeter, and it just makes a really nice beer.
In putting the whole fruit in there, I mean, Steve and I are sampling these little tinctures with just the zest, so yeah. You get all of the components of the lemon, not just the juice. You get the juice, you get the zest while it's still on the fruit. You also get the pithy parts, I'm assuming.
Yes, we do. And you definitely taste that, which I think sort of depending on the sort of outcome you're looking for with a beer like this, I think the sort of tincture version that you're talking about for certain beers could be like a much better solution where you're just looking for those really nice high aromatic notes. With the whole fruit, we do get a little bit of acidity. Like even though we're talking, it's two cases of the Meyer lemons that go into a 3.5 barrel Bright, and we usually split them up. So it's a significant amount of fruit, but like over the course of like that much beer, it's not actually that much juice. So you do get a little bit of acidity. You get like a really pleasant sort of background pithy bitterness, which is like reflected in the fruit itself. It feels like it gives the beer more complexity. But in this particular beer, we're really trying to show off the flavor of the lemons. Mm-hmm. In other styles where you might be just looking for that like little aromatic lift, I think all of the other sort of complexity of the fruit might be distracting. So I think the way we do it works great for this beer, but I think there's plenty of other ways to pull off getting that great citrus flavor into your beers.
So as under your license, is it legally possible for you to use tinctures? I mean, you would essentially be fortifying your beer with alcohol.
So this is a difficult question. If it were any significant amount, the answer would be no. We can't change the ABV of our beers with spirits. Mm-hmm. However, there are beers occasionally where we use vanilla extract. And it's a tiny, tiny amount, but the amount you would add in a tincture is also quite small. So I feel like you're getting into a little bit of a gray area. Generally speaking, no.
Your mileage may vary.
Yes. Check your local regulations.
If you're home brewing, you're fine.
You do what you want.
Yes.
All right. Well, Casey, it's always lovely to see you, and I look forward to sharing the beer with Steve.
Sounds great. And tell Steve hi as well.
So Casey says hi.
And hi back to Casey.
Wasn't that nice?
It was very nice.
Casey's been with us, with the podcast, literally since the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful to see not only his career grow and expand and go into different areas, but he and his wife, Dorothy, now, you know, they had two teenage boys, and now they got the, I don't know how young the baby is now, but you just follow Ivory Bill brewing on the socials, and you get to see the baby bounce around a little bit, literally. Anyway, I'm always excited to have an excuse to go up to see Casey and Dorothy up at Ivoryville. So what do you think about that? The process, his process, you know, it's juice and whole fruit and the skins and the pith and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the beer in your hand now. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely delicious. It's very good beer. It's what a fruit beer ought to be. And he was right. So I listened to his interview, and he talked about that there's a little pithiness,
mm-hmm.
and he's absolutely right. I can taste the entire fruit in the beer.
Yeah.
And that was there is very astute.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, if you, I don't know how you peel an orange or a lemon or something like that, if you're peeling one, but I frequently bite into it to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you get that bitterness.
Right.
And it's, too much of it's too much. And it's like, oh, but a little bit, it's like, oh, that's kind of good. You know? And so that's what this beer has, is a little bit, and it's kind of good.
Yeah. I didn't ask him about hops, but I'm assuming that the hopping is very subdued.
Yeah. This is not about hops.
Because it may be because I was coming off of these more strongly flavored tinctures, but my first impression of the beer as I smelled it and I tasted it was that this is a wheat forward beer.
Mm-hmm.
The first few sips, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, it's nice. It's got a nice bready base. You know, it's just a nice, nicely done wheat beer with some lemon citrus components.
Right.
The more I drink on it, the more the malt fades into the background, and the more that citrus component comes to the fore. And I am tasting the juice. I am tasting the pithiness, which adds a good balance of, you know, sort of bitterness or I wouldn't go so far as to say astringency, but and then there's also the zest that we have tasted in this tincture,
right?
You know, that I can taste because we did this experiment with the tincture, and I can, you know, now, you know, recognize that in the last couple minutes. So this is, again, not a novelty beer. This is a well-balanced fruit beer,
yeah.
where you're not just getting hit in the face with lemon.
Right,
but it is a very well done integral part of the whole flavor.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't. Profile. It doesn't. It's that doesn't go to lemon pledge.
No, at all. Not at all.
So yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's so good. I just took another sip, and the citrus now. I don't know. I guess it maybe because of the oils in mm-hmm. the citrus. Maybe it's building up over time. So it's like, you know, at the beginning of the beer, I was like, yeah, this is nice. There wasn't as much citrus as I imagined or expected. But now, you know, halfway through this beer, I'm like, oh yeah,
it's very yeah,
yeah. That's and it's very pleasant. It's very delicious. It's only 4.8% ABV, which is another bonus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Northwest Arkansas, I don't know how much more of this is available.
How many barrels did he make?
I don't know, but you know, each batch is basically a small batch up there at Ivoryville.
Right.
I wanted to bring that because, you know, we talk about these tinctures in the abstract. Mm-hmm. And the extract. But we talk about them in the abstract, but it's nice to taste a professionally done beer that has at least a component of what we're talking about. Because the there is alcohol in beer, and the skins, of the lemons were in there, and so right. there is a tincture component kind of to this.
Sure. Yeah, so that's a whole nother, that's not tinctures, but so he essentially did his in the bright tanks.
Right.
So if you were to add the Meyer lemons into the secondary, I guess.
Yeah, it's essentially there's yeast still present, in the bright tank, because he does open fermenters.
Right.
He can't just close off the he can't just remove the yeast and the trub out of the bottom of the fermenter and then add stuff in the top. He's right. got to rack into, and this is the way he dry hops as well. He racks from the fermenter into a bright tank. Mm-hmm. Purges with CO2 and then either dry hops or dry lemoned. But I'm sure some fermentation took place in there after that with the sugars and the juice. But so good,
very good. Yeah, that's terrific. And this has inspired me.
Oh,
and your lemon custard pie has inspired me. To make a lemon custard beer.
Oh, how would you do that?
Well, in my little pea brain, I was thinking...
My little pea brain.
You could do it as an all grain or an extract, but if you start with a fairly neutral base, let's just say, extract base, Pilsner mm-hmm. extract, or light extract, and then, but then use... I would think maybe like Brie Special Roast, some kind of a bready biscuit malt, and quite a bit as you're, to bring that, to get the crust.
Mm-hmm. As like a steeping thing?
Yeah, steep that.
Ooh.
Or if you're doing all grain, then, in the mash.
Right.
And then add a bit of lactose. To get the sugar component and the milk component.
Yeah.
And then your lemons.
Mm-hmm.
And just enough hops to bring it in balance.
Right.
I think you got a lemon custard beer.
That's awesome. See, we've been talking about recipe development over the past few episodes, and what you just went through right there is an excellent example of how to put a recipe together using your knowledge that you've, over 25 years.
Millennia.
Yeah. That sounds like it would work.
I think it would. I may have to try that.
It's at least a small batch.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And that plays back into our whole tincture idea that, mm-hmm. You could do a small batch of that pretty easily. A couple of pounds of DME and
you could even get the base of it and then make different pies.
Sure.
Different pie beers. Do a key lime, get some key lime juice.
Key lime juice.
And make a key lime pie.
Yeah.
Do some lemon, do some organic Mineola Tangela.
Well, by golly.
There you go. And by gum. All right. Well, this is a lot of fun, as usual. Now we got to figure out what to do next. Whether we stick with the... Do you think there's more mileage in the tinctures?
Well, we haven't done avocado, walnut, and kale yet.
Oh, God. They're my favorite law firm.
Avocado, walnut, and kale?
All right. Well, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve and to Casey, of course. Really liking playing with the tinctures. It's opening up my eyes to some new possibilities, which is always fun. What would you like to hear a sample next? Let me know. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com.
Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production of Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.